Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair an aubergine caponata with a Languedoc rosé.
And we talk about our celebrity crushes, how we'd like to die, and the submersible. Hello! Welcome back. It feels like a couple of weeks since we've been doing this.
So much has happened.
I know, we've been all over the bloody world.
We've been all over the bloody world. The submarine news story has happened, and now, literally, just as we've started recording, finished. Yeah. Although it feels like it's been part of the news cycle for about 7 years.
We've come full circle.
We've come full circle. They found suspected human remains.
Well, they said presumed human remains. I don't know. I think you can quite safely assume. I don't think it's a presumption that those are human remains in there.
Yep.
I mean, they maybe should have known not to get in a little tin can controlled by an Xbox controller.
The more I learn about that story, it's just the more I was thinking, why would you? I think it's kind
absurd.
Of part of that billionaire mindset. Billionaire mindset. This is now a tech bro podcast. It's kind of part of that billionaire, like really famous, all the money in the world mindset. Once you feel like you've conquered the earth and everything feels a bit numb to you, obviously you're going to go to the bottom of the ocean just to feel something.
It's kind of insane to me that you'd spend £250,000 on something without checking any of the safety regulations of it. Do you just think it's a bit jokes?
I think also if you're a billionaire and like all precautions are taken for your security and safety all of the time anyway, then they're going to think, yeah, of course.
Someone check that for me.
Well,
someone
I'm paying £450,000, so obviously it's going to be like the most safe place in the world. But I heard the most interesting thing that I saw. Sorry to launch into submarine discourse so early. We're just trying to get it out of the way. The thing that I found so interesting is it might just be like my dad's sister's brother's cousin told me. But
the best stories always start that way.
Yeah, apparently if you're like oxygen starved, a lot of submarines have films that you can watch that you'll get a lot out of if you're oxygen starved and really giggly.
Oh, really?
And one of those films is Shrek. Oh. So like, yeah.
To be fair, I think that is my happiest film of all time, Shrek.
But imagine watching it from a place that of like higher understanding that you'd never be able to achieve in your normal oxygen-rich state.
That sounds great. Get me in that submarine. I mean, that one's dead in fairness, but build another submarine and get me in that submarine.
Bring another submersible.
Get me watching Shrek under the sea whilst I die, slowly.
Perfect. I actually think that would be a pretty perfect death.
If I died watching Shrek, like not really sure that I was dying, but just slowly losing oxygen.
Yeah, I think that feels right. That's a really good way to die. And then it's not like, God, this is really morbid, but it's not like you're being strangled and like you're aware that you're losing oxygen. It's like you're watching a film and then like you're falling asleep on the sofa.
Oh, that's actually my favourite activity ever.
How do you feel about it being your last activity?
Do you know what? Great. Yeah. I also, this is a slight tangent, but I feel like it relates to this conversation.
Yeah.
I've always had a fantasy where I don't really want to get buried. I do just want to get chucked in the sea. So it's kind of two in one.
What, like someone's got your arm, someone's got your legs?
Yeah, yeah. I would, in a ball gown. I'd like to be like on quite a grand boat and I'm in like a big red ball gown. It's quite poofy and princessy. And I don't want to be in a coffin. I want my literal corpse to be chucked into the sea, but I want to be really glammed up.
Okay.
Preferably wearing like quite a lot of jewellery to weigh me down.
What? Oh, okay, to weigh you down. Yeah, so you don't wash up and like
Cam and Kate
beach.
Have told me that they're not going to chuck me in the sea because it feels a bit gross to have all the fishes eating me, but it's my dying wish.
Wow. How do you want to die, out of curiosity? Or
watching Shrek on the
yeah,
sofa.
Yeah, I think
definitely.
That's genuinely like a really
dying
nice
my sleep
way to
watching
go.
Watching Shrek on the sofa.
Yeah,
what about
perfect.
You?
And I think I genuinely think that's like, yeah, if we ever have to make a suicide pact, Sophie, we know what we're doing.
How do you want to be buried? Do you want to get chucked in the sea too?
I literally don't care. Whatever's cheapest. I'm not there. I'm not there. I always find it a bit, I suppose if people have dying wishes, that's great to honour them. But I would find it a bit weird personally to order people to do things when I'm literally not there.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. So we're not building you a mausoleum.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, oh yeah, build me a mausoleum and pay for like a massive like fuck off funeral. I'm literally not there. Throw me in the trash.
I won't know either way, whatever you do.
When I die, just throw me in the trash. Is that... It sounds like that Francis Bacon quote, but it's actually a quote from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think it's like, when I die, just throw me in the gutter or something like that, which I think is good. We are both... You wouldn't be able to tell, actually, from how enthusiastic we seem to be about the submersible, but me and Sophie are fucking knackered.
We it's have been busy had, weeks yeah, for both of us.
Really, really busy weeks.
Before we talk about all our busy weeks, should we talk about what we're eating and drinking?
Should we do that? Let's do it.
What's on the drinks menu today, Han, other than the cup of coffee in my hand that I'm going to be toozing, double parked with
delicious wine? So we're starting off today with a rosé at 9:30 a.m., Let's do it. It is from Domaine Palmat. It's a cuvée called Jardin de Rose, or Garden of Roses. It's from the heart of the Languedoc. It is an absolutely stunning bottle. I got sent it as a press sample. And I thought that, you know, everyone kind of like drinks rosé, like as a glass to have as an aperitif on its own. But I think it works really well as a food pairing wine.
I love rosé. Literally, as soon as May hits, that I would say that is the main colour of wine that I'm drinking.
It's like a gorgeous like pink colour. It has like a lovely like glass topper as well. So if he's just taking a bit, get my feet in. I've got my toes out today.
The love of God, show us your toes.
Love of God, show us your toes. It's currently on sale at Waitrose for £9.99.
Seriously?
So if you want to get it, it looks expensive, doesn't it?
It looks really expensive.
But yeah, it's like really, really, as the name suggests, very floral. It's got like obviously like a great citrusy, pink grapefruit, lemon zest quality and kind of like a classic South of France flinty finish. So if you just tried to pour the bottle, forgetting that I just said there was a glass stopper.
It's the morning, guys.
I know, it's a bit... I've noticed more wines with glass stoppers.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend.
The Post Malone wine.
I find it quite hard to remove a glass stopper.
Yeah.
I can see that. It's all going wrong.
It's too early for this.
Oh,
do you want me to do that while you talk about the food?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Watch me also not able to do it, but...
So we thought that rosé would go nicely with something that's quite summery and vegetable-packed with a bit of acidity.
Mm-hmm.
So today we've got one of my favourite things to eat in the summer, which is you're struggling with it now too!
I'm working it out.
It's okay. Hannah's better. Hannah's more of a wine expert than me, shockingly. So today we're eating some aubergine caponata, which is one of my favourite things to eat in the summer because you can make a big batch and then it keeps in the fridge for like a week and actually only tastes better as the days go on. This batch I made a couple of days ago. Thank you very much. See, I made this aubergine caponata a few days ago, so the flavours should have all mingled and matured quite nicely. Basically, it's aubergines that you fry with onions and peppers and you add something sharp in there, either capers or olives, or both in this case, tomatoes, vinegar, sugar, and you just let that simmer for a bit till it all comes together in a nice, thick, jammy concoction. It's really nice by itself with a sharp salad. It's really nice with a bit of white fish. I love it with sausages in the summer.
Ooh, yeah.
Just a really nice way of showing off some of the summer veg here in the form of aubergines and tomatoes. I haven't served it with sausages or with fish today, but with just like a little bit of lemony whipped ricotta.
Thank you, friend.
You're very welcome. A nice breakfast.
Yeah, I love a savory breakfast. So I used to only be able to do sweet, obviously, really? As a kid. Yeah.
What was your top sweet breakfast?
Not like sweet, but cereals. It was cereals until I was about 20.
Good call.
I'm like a big egg girl. I know you're not a big egg girl.
I am sometimes.
I'm always a really big egg girl. But we used
top
to have
egg.
Top egg. Just boiled egg.
Just yeah.
Boiled egg sliced up.
How set are we talking in the yolk?
I don't care.
Really?
Not a taste of egg, yeah.
As long as it's eggy.
As long as it's an egg, I'm happy.
One boiled egg, so straight good. Up. Extra egg.
But my parents were not strict, I think. I think whenever I say things like my parents, it makes them sound really strict. They weren't really strict, but like they were very particular about, fair enough, about us like eating unhealthily as kids and making sure we were fueled for the day.
Right.
So we weren't allowed any sugary cereals. The sugariest cereal we were allowed was Cheerios.
Because
It was sweetened with honey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then we would have
But you were never allowed your Cocoa Pops or anything like that.
No, or like Cookie Crisp. My mom was like, it's just cookies in a bowl with milk. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, Cookie Crisp was absolutely not allowed in my house. Mm-mm. Rice Krispies were the main cereal I ate as a child,
yeah.
I think.
Rice Krispies and cornflakes, but we were allowed to sprinkle a bit of sugar on top.
Mm.
But our parents would always like police the sugar. I'd be like, no.
No, that's
a bit less, a bit less, a bit less.
I think my top cereal, which masquerades as a healthy cereal, mm-hmm. is absolutely not, is Jordan's Country Crisp with the freeze-dried strawberry bits or freeze-dried raspberry
yes.
bits in it. God, that is a great cereal.
Mm.
I don't buy cereal enough as an adult. I feel like I thought that would be something I'd do all the time when no one's policing my food choices.
Yes.
Just buy a box of cereal and eat that for my dinner. But I actually never do that.
Mm.
Why not?
I think we have all of these like illusions when we're kids about what we're going to be doing or allowed to do. And then you realise the bowl of Jordan's Country Crisp is about £6. And then the dream dies.
And it doesn't keep you very full.
No, it doesn't, because it is just sugar.
Yeah, it spikes. It's actually quite boring being an adult, isn't it? Do you know what, though? I do buy things like potato waffles sometimes still as a treat. Mm. I do like having a jacket potato and baked beans for my dinner or some fish fingers from time to time.
Mm-hmm,
In fact, it's already been decided I'm having fish fingers for my dinner tonight. Cam announced this morning
we're
having
my God.
Fish fingers.
My partner had fish fingers last night.
Oh.
Fish fingers and chips
oh.
with his mum.
Oh, it's such
I called
good
it
dinner.
A nursery tea.
It's such nursery tea, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. What's your equivalent of that?
So my equivalent, I think I've spoken about this before on the podcast, but my equivalent to kind of nostalgic stuff, because my mum's a really good cook and she would always make us like very hearty meals after tea. But when she was working, so she's working as a social worker, but we didn't have much money. She worked as a librarian on the weekends as well. And so it was just us three girls and dad all every Saturday for a few years. I can't remember how long, but he would make Saturday lunch, and Saturday lunch was just like half a little tiny baguette buttered, a third of half a packet of crisps, a baby bell, some cut up peppers, a slice of ham.
Oh, that's such a dad lunch.
Yeah.
Dads love a little just like picky bits plate
yeah.
with like bread, meat,
mm-hmm.
little bit of vegetable, not too much vegetable,
mm-hmm.
bit of cheese.
That's really nostalgic for me. And then we would all make baby bell mice out of the...
It's why baby bells, I think, are better than cheese strings, is that you have the added joy of the wax to play with afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You can obviously play with a cheese string, but the packaging's not playable.
No.
Rubbish.
It's not nearly as kinky. Yeah, training up.
I haven't even tried the wine yet. I've just been digging into the food.
I've literally just demolished this.
Oh, that is really nice. Oh, it's super floral. I like that a lot.
Let me get my little...
It is rosé season. It's literally all I'm drinking
you
at the moment.
You wouldn't know it today.
I mean, we're recording, listener, on a day where I think it said highs of 24, but it's incredibly sticky and it's raining. And you might be able to tell from the sheen on our faces if you're seeing any video clips of us today. But rosé season nonetheless.
Rosy season nonetheless. We just had like an amazingly sunny week, but I'm very, very thankful for the fact that it's cooled down just a little bit.
Me too.
Speaking of sunny weeks, how did you spend your sunny week, Sophie? Sunny weekend.
I was at Glastonbury, which I think I banged on about a bit prior to going to Glastonbury. Mm-hmm. So I was spending the incredibly hot weekend in a field with minimal access to shade or showers. But it was really fun. It's actually the first time I've been to a festival where I've camped since pre-COVID. Hmm. So I was really nervous before. But you know what? It was great. I'm not going to lie, though. We did luck out because we got bell tents.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, it was like semi-glamping, I would say.
Okay.
It's just a pre-pitched bell tent. You've got your own toilet blocks where they have a flush and loo seats.
Wow.
There's a shower block. The queue for it does normally take about an hour, but there is showers there if you want them. And just your own car park, your own entrance, so you don't have to queue for ages. Me being nearly 30 now, I feel like my days of queuing hours to get into a festival, rushing to pitch a tent in the mud, those days are behind me now.
My days of shitting in the woods are over.
You hear that?
They're over.
So if you are also, I'm going to say a medium maintenance queen rather than a high maintenance queen, because I don't relate to that. Like me.
Such a pick me. Oh my
then.
God. Who are you trying to impress?
Well, you know, I don't need to like have hair straighteners and stuff, but I would like to like not have to stand in a queue for ages.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And having a proper loo seat did feel quite nice, you know? Yeah. And there was always loo roll in there as well. So that was nice. I'm talking too much about the creature comforts of Glastonbury, I feel. The festival itself was great.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Hard to find great food at Glastonbury.
Really?
I think just because it's so big that there is good food everywhere, but it might take you ages to get there. Mm. So normally you're just reaching for the closest thing to you.
I saw that you had a meal that you thought was the best.
I did.
Out there.
I did have a really good meal at Glastonbury. It was a stall. I think they got one in Broadway Market. I actually can't remember what they're called, but the sign said Indonesian coconut curry. And it was a really spicy coconutty chicken curry with like shredded up chicken in this like really rich red coconut based sauce with rice and loads of pickles.
Yeah.
Perfect festival food.
That's what you want when it's hot though. You want to do as people that live in like countries where it's hot all the time do and just have like shitloads of spicy stuff.
And help sweat it out. Yeah. Like when you're a bit hungover, you've lost your voice a bit, you're feeling a bit under the weather, I feel like spicy food and like warming coconutty stuff is what you need to soothe your soul and heal you a bit.
Who was your favourite person that you saw?
My favourite was Shy Girl by far.
Really?
Shy Girl is a fucking icon. Every one of her songs is a banger. Mm-hmm. And the sun was shining. It was like a 7:30 p.m. set. And it was me and all my best mates watching Shy Girl and having a dance, and every song was hit after hit. We were all laughing our heads off, having the nicest time. That was definitely a highlight for me. I'll think about that all the time. I've been listening to Shy Girl on repeat since I left Glastonbury.
I don't know any Shy Girl songs.
Don't you? She's got a great one called Coochie, which I think you'd like.
I love Coochie.
We all love Coochie. Lana was also amazing. I know you're
so
a big Lana stan.
I'm a huge Lana stan.
For those who didn't see, Lana Del Rey came on half an hour late. And we were all, it was the last set of the evening. Yeah. And Glastonbury have quite tight time constraints. So she was half an hour late. She had someone doing her hair on stage, which I thought was a bit, but I actually think they were just finishing her hair. I can't tell which is more iconic. I actually think having your hair finished on stage is pretty iconic.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Slay.
She was ridiculous. She sounded way better than I thought she would.
Because she's a recording artist. She's not necessarily like, when you see these live clips, we're just going, it's like, okay, I would not pay £200 to see that. But
totally.
Then sometimes you get like, yeah. Sorry, Lana, if you're listening, I absolutely adore you, but some of those clips, man.
Totally.
Do
I was expecting that. And then I was actually really blown away by her vocals. It was a really emotional performance. Really upsetting, though, she got cut off before she finished. Because
because
of
that.
The curfew. I was there for that. So she kicked off with A&W.
Oh, my God.
But only the end bit. Jimmy, Jimmy, cook-a-butt, Jimmy, Jimmy, Ray.
I still don't know to these. Oh my to God, this day
you?
What she's saying.
Yeah, no idea. Okay. No idea. If you know, listener, please tell us.
Shall I find out what it is?
And then she did loads of the bangers, but she didn't get to do video games. She got cut off before she did video games. And the crowd was very upset singing video games. And she was trying to sing it on stage. But obviously, her mic had been cut off and it was dark. But that was even quite emotional watching that, her trying to sing Video Games and the crowd singing it back to her. Yeah, incredible. Loved it. Weirdly, obviously there was a lot of dudes on the Glastonbury lineup, and we've bitched about that previously. I didn't see very many of them. I was watching the girls. Yeah. I was watching all the girls. Watched a bit of Arctic Monkeys. Not gonna lie, was a bit boring. We left after five songs.
Really?
It was a bit like, I'm a rock star and I'm gonna play the boring songs.
He's always
songs.
Like that. He's always been like that.
He's a bit serious. Lil Nas X I missed, but his set was iconic.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was messaging Sophie while she was on her way back. Well, I wasn't messaging her. I was bugging Sophie on her way back, but she was running out of battery. Like, do you want to post this clip? Do you want to post this clip? And I was watching Glastonbury because, yeah, tradition for me, I'll always watch it from the comfort of my own home on the sofa going, like I'm there, which I've done since I was a kid. But I was watching Lil Nas X live and I said, oh, are you still there? He said, no, I've left. And I said, oh my God, like, did you see any of Lil Nas X's bit? And so he said, no. I actually haven't watched any Glastonbury today because I've had FOMO. I said, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I had to leave early because I had a work job which I had to be on form for. So I was taking it quite easy. I was feeling like an adult.
Yeah.
I took it quite easy on Saturday and Sunday in preparation for this job, which I don't regret doing, but it was kind of... Yeah, it was sad to leave early.
Yeah.
I did watch Lil Nas X in the end and he was amazing.
Oh my God. It's like,
when Jack
really
Harlow
good time.
Comes out.
Oh, so this is the thing. So I said like, oh my God, that's why I got in touch with you. Like, did you see any of Lil Nas X? And you're like, no, FOMO. And yeah, when it kind of came to Jack Harlow's verse in Industry Baby, like when he's meant to like immediately jump in right at the start of that verse, there wasn't anything. So everyone was like, aww. And then there was like a little dance bit. And then he said, I'd like to invite a friend to the stage. And I like genuinely screamed at home on my own on the sofa. I think if I was a Victorian woman, I think the moment might have actually killed me.
When people bring out guests, it is always so exciting.
He just came on, did a rap, and then fucking just fucked off.
His stage presence is ridiculous. And they clearly love each other. Yeah. I love watching those two perform together.
Yeah, everyone loves Jack Harlow.
Yeah. A lovable man. Do you know who I did see appear, though?
Who?
Listeners, long-time listeners, you may have heard us talking about Central C and talking about how we don't really get it previously
Central
and we don't
C
like
narrative.
His music. I'd like to inform you that I've done a complete 180 and I now not only like his music, but really fancy him.
There you go.
I swung by his set towards the end because I was somewhere else before. But managed to catch Sprinter at the end, his duet with Dave. And I was there as Dave appeared and I lost my shit.
Oh.
That was great. And then he did Doja. So I caught Sprinter and Doja, which is really the only
perfect.
Two that I would have wanted to catch anyway.
Yeah.
But his stage presence, again, amazing. Carrying a baby around the stage.
Yeah, a little bow.
We love a little baby. Whose baby is it again?
So there, you know where Benk and Beau was?
Yeah.
It's now called Beau as in B-E-A-U. And I think that's the baby's name.
Ah.
So, and they recorded the music video outside it.
Oh, cute.
In Whitechapel, yeah. I really like Central C. I've been watching a few of his interviews and I think he's seeing, well, has like a relationship with this girl called Madeline.
I love and, like, Madeline Orgie.
Oh, yeah.
She is great.
She seems so great. But, like, in the videos, they'd be like, yeah, I've got this book. It's like, what's
the
in my bag?
The Old Man in the Sea.
Oh, Man in the Sea. Oh, my God. We all watch the same YouTube videos. It's so funny.
But he's like, you know, it's quite good, you know. I feel like people should maybe read this book. And it's like, oh, yeah, Ernest Hemingway. I think people might have read that book.
He said, like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, that really got me. It was like, yeah, this guy's going to get bear peas like, after I shout him out. I was like, I
think the Hemingway estate is probably okay. But thank you anyway, sweet boy.
Oh my God.
I've got a thing and I don't know if you have this as well.
Okay.
I've got it with Central C and I've got it with a few other famous people where I get these delusions that I feel like not only do I fancy someone, but I could probably get them. Like they probably might happen in the future. So I have it with Central C. I've got it with Timothy Chalamet. I've got it with Zayn Malik. Like really distinctly those three. Where I'm like, I can really picture the future where like I'm on Timothee Chalamet's arm at a film premiere. Like I know that's going to happen for me. I say as a happily engaged woman.
I think I have a similar thing. I think, you know what, but I think it's just like fancying getting to a point, but because it has been universal because my dad and his friend have said the exact same thing about Kate Bush.
Really?
Not only do I really fancy her, but I know if we met that we would fall in love.
Yeah, we know each other. We are deeply connected.
Like, yeah, if my dad ever does meet Kate Bush, which I would love to make happen.
Oh.
He literally texted me the day that Stormzy's new song just came out saying like, what's this with Stormzy saying he's the black Kate Bush? I was like, oh my God, nothing gets past you. I think he has alerts in his like Google app. He just gets alerts whenever Kate Bush comes up.
Oh, but, I love that.
Yeah, no, it's just adored her forever.
Not in relation to your dad and Kate Bush, but in general, this mindset. Is this how stalker mentality begins?
I think it actually does.
Where it's like, we are connected. We know each other.
Yeah.
On a spiritual level, I know that you love me too.
It's also like, it's also a nice confidence thing. Like, I'm obviously a delight. So obviously you'd probably at least fancy me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it as well with not only people I fancy, but people who I feel like are maybe uncles and aunts. Like, what? Since I was a kid, I've always thought that like Robbie Williams was kind of like, he's kind of like my uncle.
Okay, I misinterpreted what you were saying. Like, okay, that makes sense.
Kylie Minogue, I feel like I know her in like an auntie way. She's like one of my mum's mates.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't see that.
No?
I personally don't do that, but I can see where you're coming from.
You don't have Hollywood uncles.
I don't have Hollywood uncles.
I'm sorry.
No.
That's really sad for you.
Can I have one?
Yeah, you can share Robbie Williams with me if you like.
Robin or Robbie?
Robbie.
Really?
Robbie Williams.
Robin, I can understand. Robbie.
Yeah, I think it's because my dad really liked Robbie when I was a kid.
Okay.
He had a lot of Robbie Williams albums and was always singing Robbie in the kitchen. So I always thought like he was one of my dad's friends.
Oh, okay, though, this makes sense.
That's the link, I think.
You know what is a banger? Bodies by Robbie Williams.
He has so many bangers in his repertoire. Yeah. What era was Bodies in?
Bunny, no, no, bunny, the album called Bodies. yeah, he has so many bangers. Let me see.
When I think of Robbie Williams Bodies, I just think of him peeling off his skin in the Rock DJ video.
Oh, Reality Killed the Video Star is the name of the album.
Nice.
What songs has that got on it? Morning Sun. You Know Me is a really good song.
I don't think I know this one. I'm not
sure. Since you went away, my heart breaks. Co-written with Francois Hardy.
Who's that?
Really famous French pop star.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go, Robbie. Go off, King.
That's insane to me.
Anyway, that is my Glastonbury in a nutshell with some tangents. You have also been away since I last saw you.
I have.
Tell me about your holiday.
So I went to Marseille with my partner, and I think every time we go to Marseille, we get something wrong. I think I'm the kind of person to put so much pressure on myself to like, fully relax, recharge, rejuvenate. So if anything goes wrong, I'm like, well, that holiday failed. Like, I see holidays as failures and successes.
Holidays is quite like forced relaxation and perfection.
Yeah.
I think people do have a tendency to put a lot of pressure on themselves to make holiday perfect.
Yeah, I want to like make fucking memories. I really want to make those memories.
What happened wrong this time or that you perceived to be wrong?
So for a bit of context, last time we went and it was so good, but the Airbnb we stayed in, I posted about it online and everyone loved it, and it's been booked up so much since I went, probably not to do with me because it's a gorgeous flat, but there was like a fan and it was so hot. It was like 34 degrees. It was horrible, hot and sticky. We basically didn't sleep. And we were saying to the host, like, look, It's Marseille. It gets hot in the summer. Like, does this just happen every year? I'm like, oh, these are like record temperatures in Marseille. Like, oh, we weren't prepared for this. Like, you're telling me it doesn't get hotter than 30 degrees in Marseille?
It absolutely does.
It absolutely does.
It's the south of France, mate.
It's the south of France. And so we were like, okay, this time it just has to have air conditioning, because that was the only thing. Because besides that, amazing food. We had a really good time. So this time I scoured the internet trying to find a flat, trying to find an Airbnb that had like, you know, the little white box at the top, so that I could be sure that it wasn't just a fan or a Dyson air blade, whatever. It was
there
actual
was going to
AC.
Be real aircon.
And arrived and it didn't look like that far out. So if it was so far out, it was like a 45-minute walk to the center each time.
Mm.
It was.
So you were sweating your bollocks off every time you had to leave anyway.
We were sweating. I mean, we were nice and cold, but then as soon as we left, I had to go down the four flights of stairs.
Oh, God.
And then, four flights of stairs on the way back when you're like heat stroked is just not it. And if you put pressure on yourself to have the most amazing time anyway, And then you just kind of get to the point where it's just so hot and, like, you know you've got 20 more minutes to walk. You just stop talking to each other.
Oh, my God, I know. That, you're just like, that holiday feeling where you just feel a bit dejected and hot.
Yeah.
And quiet.
Like, I'm not bringing the vibes at the moment. But then I think my partner made a really good point that it's very much, like, although it's by the sea, it's very much like a Paris city break. Like, it's boom, 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 activity-based. It's not like a resort where you can just kind of, like, veg out for the entire day and not really move and then kind of go back into a nice AC room. You're like working for it. You're working for that holiday. So, and also Fête de la Musique was amazing, as it always is each year. But yeah, I think what I need to do is just go to an island, just unplug my brain for 2 weeks, and then and only then will I achieve true holiday bliss.
Yeah, yeah.
That I've been searching for.
Milos. Go to Milos.
Yeah, it looked so nice.
It was perfect. Read loads of books, eat loads of food, swim, chill.
Yeah.
Delete all the apps off your phone.
Delete all the
apps. That is my top tip for holiday nirvana being achieved is delete social media. Even if it's only for 2 days, it's actually incredible what it does for your brain.
Speaking of apps, actually, one thing that I think I sent a video to you and then you said, I've noticed this, the rise of model cooking videos on TikTok.
Everywhere.
They're everywhere, yeah.
It also started with like Gigi Hadid's vodka pasta that everyone's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, the viral vodka pasta that Gigi Hadid invented. I don't think she invented it. I think she did a video for it once.
Yeah.
And like Bella Hadid's done them. And then Gabrielle is the big one who does loads of them now. It's funny because it feels like, I don't know if you agree with me here, but it feels like we've gone back in time a bit to the 90s and early 2000s where the body shape that people are aspiring to again is that like model thin.
Yeah.
And back then, the way that that was put across in like a chill girl way was a lot of like models eating salads. You know, yeah. People like smiling as they like hold a burger.
Yeah.
Or like smiling as they eat their salads, but you'd think they're not really eating that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like the new way that that is being put across in media is models cooking things at home.
Yeah. I think that also models need to be likeable, and I think that because Skinny Chic is back in, they kind of need a way to still feel relatable and likeable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I
totally,
think that
totally
through doing that with food is probably a way. But I find it generally really, really interesting. I mean, yeah, it's kind of like part of that cool girl. She's skinny, but she eats pizza. Also just contributes to like this perfect woman image because you're not a model. You're not just a model. You're an icon, or you're aspiring to be like an icon.
And you can do all of it. She can cook. She's charismatic.
Yeah.
She can dance. She can sing.
Yeah, exactly. I find, which ones have you enjoyed?
I actually think Gabrielle's ones are really good.
Yeah.
She cooks some quite delicious looking food and her vibe is great. It's just, it's mad.
I like Sydney Carlson.
Yeah.
She's super hot and smoking and she also seems really down to earth. She's also opened up in the past. Me and Sophie just had a little aside about eating disorders and how it kind of might contribute to that culture or help us move away from that culture. But Sydney Carlson's been really, really open in the past about eating disorders and about how she's like gaining a positive relationship with food. And I think that in her case, for sure, it's probably linked to that, her reconnecting with food and talking about food and not like shying away from food. I find it really interesting. I really like hers as well. And also the food looks really banging.
Yeah, I need to look up more of hers.
But it's so insane how much sugar Americans put in
everything. It's really interesting that you saying that kind of she's been open about the fact that she's had a kind of disordered eating in mm-hmm. her past. And this is her way of learning to love food again and reconnect with it. I do think that there's like that dual thing of sometimes people come into cooking, but out of a greed mm-hmm. and out of a kind of like a deep always love of food, which is kind of where I've come to it from. But then there is the other side of it, which is maybe you haven't always had a healthy relationship with food
yeah.
and it's your way of healing. And there's a lot of people out there who I can think of who are food writers or content creators who have been really open about their struggles with that stuff.
Yeah.
And that is as valid a route into food as the other way.
It's like, I think we have talked about this on the podcast before. yeah, so much of your job as a food writer or content creator is the eating and consuming and digesting and metabolizing of food. So obviously you're going to feel like your body's just a tool to help you get work done. It's a vessel. It's a vessel for your work. And that can probably result in like feeling like your body isn't your own. I'm not feeling in control. Control is a big thing.
Totally. I think you or I have both have issues with this from time to time, that you get a bit jaded with it when even like going out to lovely restaurants, which used to be a thing that I enjoyed doing so much as a treat and really kind of saved up really my money so I could do it and felt so lucky. Sometimes now I feel like such a spoiled brat because I'm like, I don't want to go out to a nice restaurant. I just want to eat a bowl of broccoli on the sofa and not have to eat loads of rich food tonight. And that's a terrible frame of mind to be in.
Yeah.
I want to feel really grateful for all the opportunities that I'm given and for all the spaces that I now have access to.
It's such a weird headspace to be in because I can't remember, I was reading something where someone was talking about disordered eating promoted by and that kind of like clean eating style. And she says it creates this really weird headspace whereby you're on like this mission to eat clean and everyone who is doing otherwise or try to give you something else becomes an enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you go around to a friend's house and they've made you a pasta but you can't eat it, you then kind of feel like this anger towards them, like you're not helping me. Like you're not supporting me like on this like way that I want to live. And that's like a different kind of like disordered, like overly like restrictive diet. I find this entire thing so fascinating.
It's
I think
really fascinating.
More work should be done to unpick it, to discuss it. Lucas did a fabulous piece for Vogue, Lucas Oakley.
I was thinking about that as we were talking about this. Our friend Lucas Oakley, who's a food writer, who's brilliant, brilliant. Has been very open about his struggles with anorexia as a teenager and wrote a really brilliant article in Vogue, as Hannah said. So definitely look that up.
Shall we read some letters?
I think we should. Let's do it.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Anonymous, I'm assuming, because there isn't a name. Hi, Anonymous. I've been with my current boyfriend for 3.5 years. I honestly can't fault the relationship and he treats me unbelievably well. There's going to be a but. But I'm starting to feel less attracted to him. Oh no. He is very handsome and I love being with him, but I just can't know what's going on. I'm starting to think it's maybe me wanting to be single in my 20s. I'm 23. As I've just moved to London with friends and I'm wanting to get something out of my system. I've recently started being attracted to other guys and wanting their attention. Is this selfish? What do I do? Oh no.
Oh, I really feel for you.
Yeah.
I think I had a really similar situation to this when I was around your kind of age. Yeah, last week. Yeah, actually, get this ring off my finger. It's really perfectly normal. It's not selfish of you. You don't have to feel bad about it. Sometimes relationships serve a really strong purpose when you're a young person and they can be a beautiful thing for a time and they don't have to last forever and that is okay. Mm-hmm. You are completely within your rights. You're a young woman. And if you feel like your heart's not in it anymore, you want to be single, you want to be exploring. I think that's a really normal way for you to feel in relationships in your early 20s. It's not selfish in the slightest.
Yeah.
It's more selfish to stay in a relationship if you feel like your heart's not in it anymore. It will make both of you more happy ultimately if you are honest about how you're feeling and try and work through that with him, whether that's...
Oh, that's such good advice.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I think, I'd say work it through. I've felt like a similar way in the past and it's always like a really horrible feeling because you feel like your body and your brain are almost like working against you, and what you know is like an ultimately a situation that's good for you. And you feel like really immense feelings of guilt, of not being a good girlfriend, even though you really want to be. But also, when I was speaking to friends at the time, like quite a few of them said, like, and very rightly, like, finding other people attractive and wanting the attention of people of the opposite sex or the same sex, I don't know, or whichever sex you're attracted to, doesn't mean you should break up with your boyfriend. Like, I think that some people feel really obviously like if it's like so attractive, it's like, I actually want to be with this person. Yeah, fair enough, fine. But you're allowed to be attracted to other people and want their attention, like if you're in a long-term relationship. I personally feel, I don't think that like, if it's just that, it's worth breaking up over. Obviously, if it's like a symptom of like a much stronger feeling, as you say, of maybe wanting to get something out your system. But I don't think you should beat yourself up too much about that specific thing.
Totally.
Personally. I think that that's a normal part of having a sexuality that ebbs and flows.
And all relationships have ebbs and flows. You can have moments where you feel really deeply in love with somebody and connected to somebody, and then you can have moments where you feel slightly more distant from them. And the only way that you can work through that stuff is through communicating how you're feeling.
Yeah.
So this doesn't have to be the end. If you yeah. feel like this is something you want to work through, then I think you can just be really honest with your boyfriend about yeah. how you're feeling. But sending you loads of love, because I know that this is something that I've been through in the past with these feelings. I think Han has too. Yeah. So I know that it's really rough.
Yeah.
So
sending lots of love. Yeah, I know. I feel like whenever we answer questions like that, it's so vague. It's like, do whatever you feels best and don't feel too guilty. But yeah, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater over kind of feelings that you're feeling, which you are allowed to feel. Drink every time Hannah says feelings. But yeah, I don't think you're being selfish. I think you need to put yourself first, but also at the same time, your boyfriend is not a mind reader. Okay. How can I say no to hen do's next year without causing offence? I'm losing so much time and money going to them.
This is a thing that is such a big topic at this point in my life.
I mean, I feel like at this moment, yeah, I'm hearing so many different people talk about the exact same thing.
I don't have loads of hen do's on right now, but I know that it's something that in the next few years is going to become more of an issue. And it is really expensive. If everyone's wanting to go abroad, if everyone wants to go abroad for a hen do and everyone wants you to take like a day of annual leave, then that really stacks up if you've got five of those in a year. And lots of times it's going on holidays that you wouldn't choose to go on with people you wouldn't choose to go on them with,
yeah,
which is really rough. It's really hard because obviously if you're being invited to someone's hen do, it probably means that they're a close pal of yours. And it probably means that you feel like you should be going.
Yeah. They would want you there. They've invited you because they want you there. I don't understand it when people bring people just to like build up the numbers.
No,
so it's
we
worth
don't need
going.
That.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think? This doesn't really help in your particular situation, but I think that we should start a movement to stop doing hen do's that require long weekends away. Mm. Same with stag do's, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It just stacks up money, time, mm-hmm. emotional energy that it takes to plan something like that.
And also if you're only taking one day of annual leave or you're going out on a weekend, like it's going to be the most expensive.
Yeah, it's over the top. Yeah. What's wrong with just going out for a lunch in the city that you live in,
yeah.
you know? Or even a day trip to, say, live in London, a day trip to Brighton mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
Something that isn't going to stack up all the money. I know in your particular situation, this isn't really advice and it's more just...
It's just us complaining.
It's me complaining and saying, make hen do's more accessible to everyone, please. And if you are planning a hen do or getting married, then maybe reiterate this to all your friends and think about like what costs that might be having for people.
Selfish, selfish brides.
Selfish brides. I have already said to my sisters and yeah. my bridesmaid friends that I don't want to go anywhere for my hen do.
Are you just going to stay?
I want lunch in London.
Nice.
Possibly some karaoke. I'm not anti having a Hummer or something like that.
Okay.
But I don't want to leave the city. I just think faff. Big
yeah.
faff.
Big faff vibes.
What are your thoughts, Han?
I think how to say no without causing offence. I think, honestly, if they're close enough to you that they would invite you to a hen do or a wedding, I think that they'll probably get it if you just send them, like, don't send them an email. That's fucking weird. Send them, like,
Give them a call.
Give them a call. I'd send like a medium-sized text. I wouldn't send a longy. I'd say like, hey, how are you? As you know, the cost of living crisis is affecting us all. Cost of living crisis, besides like anything
else.
Cost
of living crisis.
But yeah, that's...
You can also, if it's financially an issue to go away for a big weekend, you can make it up to them by saying, I'm really sorry, I just think financially it's not really possible for me at the moment, but I'd love to like take you out for breakfast on another day.
Well, or it's like 50, 60 quid as opposed to 300.
Exactly. Just like celebrate them in another way, even like send them a bunch of flowers or something.
Yeah.
You can like go a little bit of the distance financially without having to go the whole hog.
Yeah, I think that's a really good, I think that's a really good idea. Yeah, offer to do them something instead. Don't just completely rip the Band-Aid off like... Fuck you, I'm not coming to your hen do. Instead, just say, look, I would love to come. I can't, but let's plan something else because you mean a lot to me.
Exactly.
I think that's fair. Should we finish on a silly one?
Yeah, let's do a silly.
Serious ones. My boyfriend has bad table manners. What do I do? I really wish they'd gone into more detail. I would love to know what bad table... Or to you, Sophie, because I know that like what constitutes bad table manners is... varied. What for you mean like just screams bad table manners?
My worst ones are being on your phone around the table, especially if you're like with somebody's family. Being on your phone around the table was a massive no-no for me. Eating with your mouth full. Eating with your mouth open is kind of fine, but if you're trying to speak and be like then I feel like that's a no-no for me. I don't care about how you're holding your cutlery.
Yeah,
I don't care about anything like that.
How do you feel about bodily functions at the table? Obviously not taking a shit on the table. But like, how do you feel about someone feel like blowing their nose or something like that?
I don't. If you've got to, you know, I don't really mind that too much. I also think a burp is fine. Maybe I'm just a day bitch.
Better out than in.
I just think a burp's quite celebratory, I think.
Yeah.
If you're just eating something delicious and you do a big burp, that feels jubilant to me. Mm. That doesn't feel rude.
Yeah, there's some people that get quite squeamish about that kind of thing. I used to date someone that used to leave the room to blow his nose.
Oh, wow.
Even it was just me and him.
Great manners, but I think I don't care about that stuff.
What's
a bad table manner to you?
To be fair, I think I was born in a barn. I don't really care. You can do most things. But if you are on your phone for like a long time and I'm like, I'm sat opposite you. Like if it's me and my partner sat next to each other watching TV and then he's on his phone and we're eating dinner, that's different.
Yeah.
But if like I'm sat opposite you and you're just on your phone.
If you're in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Weird.
I just find it a bit weird because then I'll get my phone out if like they're not going to come off and then we'll both be on our phones and it'll just be. Yeah.
Imagine how the waiters talk about you in that scenario.
Yeah.
Well, they're boring.
Yeah.
I think basically it depends on what your definition of a bad table manner is. I think there are some things you can gently broach with people if you find them really offensive. For example, if I was with Cam and we were having dinner in a restaurant and he was on his phone a lot and that's something that I don't like, I'd feel comfortable saying to him like,
I just think it's funny. Huh?
And gently, in a non-passag way, broach. I'd probably just be like, you're on your phone quite a lot this evening. Do you want to put it away? I think if you're with someone, you can just say something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, your mouth's quite open there.
Your mouth is shut it.
And generally, like, if you go about it in the right way, gently, then someone's not going to take offence to it. I think you'll be all right.
That video where there's a guy in the front of a car and he says, your mouth is moving a lot like a rat. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think I do. Your video knowledge is far superior to mine.
Your mouth is moving like a rat.
Yeah, just say that to him, no matter what the issue is.
Yeah, I think you just got to broach it with them politely. The solution to all of the questions that you guys said is just like, just talk to them.
Communication.
Communication is key.
Can you tell we go to therapy?
Can you tell we go to therapy? I actually haven't been to therapy in so long. Couldn't afford it.
I'm thinking this at the moment as well, but I love Paula so much that I must.
Shout out to Catherine, but you were too expensive. I think that's us at our time.
We've done a lot of silly rambling today. I hope that you have enjoyed. If you have enjoyed, why don't you leave us a review? give us 5-star rating.
Why don't you give us
a
review?
Why don't you subscribe? We would love that. I know that we say it every week and it probably sounds really hollow, but it does really help us to move up the charts and helps keep making these podcasts. Yeah. So if you do like us, then please show us.
Give us our external validation that we crave. Fabius, is there anything you want to plug, Sophie? I mean, you could plug your Caravelle thing, but it's sold out.
It's sold out, yeah. I'm doing a sup club at one of my favourite restaurants, Caravelle, in a couple of weeks' time, but that is sold out. There are more events coming this summer, though, so if you are interested in eating my food, IRL, ooh, then keep your eyes peeled on my Instagram feed for announcements of more, because there's 2 or 3 more in the works right now.
2 or 3? You're spoiling us.
What about you, Han? Anything to plug?
No.
No.
I think I actually will be, I will be releasing tickets for a new wine club in the next couple of weeks. So I'll also be doing this exact same plug on the next episode. It's such a vague plug. Like, just keep your eye out for something.
Yeah, just basically watch us on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
Just engage with our posts and
then they will come up and then it will be good. But yeah, thank you so much. Like, subscribe, all of that good stuff. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Lots of love.
Bye. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.